Greetings and salutations. This is The Current Moment, and I am Tom Baum. Here at The Current Moment, we keep you current on all things Kansas City current, and that means diving into their next match against Angel City, and who better to bring on today than my friend, my podcast brother from the 12, Treb Tracy of Angels on Parade is here. Treb, how are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you for having me. It is always fun. It's always fun talking Angel City, something I don't really get to do often and things like this. So this is a really big pleasure for me. As you know, like you mentioned, we do the podcast at 12, which is European soccer focused. And so I always try to throw as much tidbits as I can without derailing conversations, because I love talking NWSL so much. So
I agreed. And that is why we're here today.
Yes.
I would like to get into Angel City and their form in the last five. You have a win, a draw, and three losses in their last five. And most of these teams are not like high table teams. Most of them are mid and bottom of the table teams. What has been leading to this poor run of form against this level of competition for Angel City?
I think it's multi-layered, right? I think the biggest thing that happened, as everyone who follows NWSL would know, was the medical event to Savvy King. I think people forget at that point when that happened, not only was Angel City winning that match, but they had won the match previous, and they were actually starting to catch good form. And they were starting to look a lot better, especially defensively. They were coming together. Even though we knew Sam Lady was leaving, they started kind of forming a cohesive unit. And so when that happened, it not only sucked the air out of the stadium on the night, but like you can tell it's something that has affected them since. I mean, it took a couple of matches for them to really even get mentally in a space where they can come out and compete. And then, of course, you add in the fact that in that time period, Sam Lady has left. The new head coach, Alex Strauss, has come in. And so you have to deal with navigating that, right? Like you go from one voice to the new voice. And, you know, Alex is trying to give them as much space as he can in the immediate while also trying to slowly implement what he wants to do. And so there's just a lot of things. There's a lot of things happening right now within Angel City, both emotionally and just tactically and club-wise. And I think it's taken a real negative effect on the pitch results, right? Like, and even in these losses, you've seen they haven't been blowout losses, but like you said, with what are usually considered inferior opponents coming into these matches, not being able to get results has been disappointing for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's like particularly against a team like North Carolina, who has been struggling to get not just results, but struggling to score. As a whole, like we know that they want to possess the ball to death and like pass the ball into the back of the net, but they obviously, you know, haven't been doing that. And you said so many different things that I really want to get in on. And I think the first thing I think, like, how much is the team really missing? Like, obviously the medical event to Savvy, like, hearts out to you. Like, we miss you, get better, take the rest that you need. I think also from like a player personnel standpoint, just who is on the field. Like, this was a player who her rookie season at Bay, like, maybe did not go the way that a lot of people thought that it would. And then all of a sudden she slots in next to Sarah Gordon. And to me, if I had a vote, I would probably voted her one of the six best center backs in the league, like on form. So how much is the team missing just her presence on the pitch?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we've, at least here in LA, like we've tried to navigate as respectfully as we can, because obviously something that major happens, your first focus is always on the player's health and just like happy she's alive. Like, seriously, like it was a very scary moment. And she did return to the stadium. I think it was against Chicago. And so had that moment of like everyone giving her an ovation. And so it's great to see her on the mend. But yeah, when you talk about just on the pitch productivity, when Alex Strauss had his welcoming press conference, I had a chance to talk to several people within the club, a bit off the record conversation, so I won't like give no names. But yeah, basically the sentiment was, yes, we obviously miss Savvy the person, but we definitely miss Savvy the player. I mean, like you said, she slotted in right next to Sarah Gordon. It was a little rough at first, I think, just with her kind of getting back to that center back role. But really quick, like, she started getting, like I said, they started finding chemistry in the back. The defense started to look a lot better. They were looking great against Utah that match that she went down. Like, she really stepped up and became kind of the heir apparent to that spot. You know what I mean? Like, learning under a Sarah Gordon, having that, coming from the Bay, just in LA, kind of staying close to the area. I mean, she was very important. I mean, she did things. She really covered that back line well. And, I mean, she has the pace to keep up with the rest of the players. I think that's something that also can't go unsaid. Like, as good as Megan Reed can be and as great as she can be defensively, she's just not as fast as the others. You know, when you have a back line with Giselle and Sarah Gordon and M.A. Vignola, like, these are players that have pace to them. And with Savvy King there, she also had that pace. And for her, it was just about learning the responsibilities of what they needed her to do, and she was figuring that out. And so I think just on the pitch productivity, like, they missed her a great deal. Like, it is a very glaring and very big hole that they have yet to fill. And I think that that's something Alex and the team are going to be looking at kind of going into the summer window and going into kind of the future for the team, right? Because, again, first and foremost, we want Savvy to be healthy and really to take her time and return on her terms. And so there's not a timeline set, right? Like, she could come back as early as this year, but I don't think anyone on the planet would even think twice or have any doubts if she just decided to, like, come back next year or however that looks, right? So, you know, again, it's on her in that regards, but yeah, just player-wise, they very much miss her in the back line, and it shows. I mean, that defense has been shaky at best the last three or four matches.
It's interesting that you mentioned the pace of the back line. That was one of actually the things that Vlaco pointed out in his press availability today, was just how fast of a team mm-hmm. that Angel City is. You also talked about an incoming coach in Alex Strauss. Alex Strauss coming over from Bayern Munich, having just won Frauen Bundesliga, having just won TST. Mm-hmm. And obviously he, you know, brings a high expectation of what he is wanting, but it seems like the form is still the same. Is that more of a is that worrying at all, like, for Angel City fans, or is that more like, oh, it's just, you know, like, there's a lot of confluencing factors going on?
I mean, I think it would be worrying just in the aspect of, like, I think everyone expects a new manager bump immediately, right? Like, new person comes, you expect. They had it with Becky Tweed when she took over, right? Like, they went on like a massive 11-match win streak to sneak into the playoffs. So you kind of always expect that in the back of your mind. But just when you look deeper into the context, right, like, his first match against Chicago came in a week where he arrived on like a Tuesday, and 80% of the team was away on international break. You know, Alyssa Thompson wasn't there. Kennedy Fuller wasn't there. Like, between the senior team and the U19 team, like, they had – half, if not more, of that team gone, representing various countries, mostly for the U.S., but a lot of them were just gone. And so he had one day of full training with his roster before that Chicago match. And then going into this last match, obviously he had just a full week with his roster. And so I think when you look at it like that, like, as far as Alex Strauss goes, I don't think it's worrying at all. I think this is just him having to kind of gather what he wants to do, right? When he first came in, he stressed that July was really what he was looking at in terms of an important stretch for the team, in terms of having the time during that Euro break to really implement what he wants to do, his vision for the team. He definitely has high standards, and he had an availability today. And you can tell, like, the losses are already pissing him off. and you love to see that from a coach. Like, you can tell, like, it really bothers him, even though he understands that he has grace and he has reasons why it's not really his team just yet. You can tell, like, he really is annoyed at the fact that, you know, his first two NWSL matches have been, you know, no results, and they've been losses in a way that is very Angel City-like in this league. You know what I mean? Like, you have goals that are deflecting off defenders, and you have goals at the very last minute. Like, these are things, as an Angel City fan, we've grown used to. Like, we've seen this from the team since their inception. They seem to give up these last-minute goals, these really fluky goals, these insane, wacky moments. And I think with him, you know, I think he's just annoyed having to deal with that. And so I think But as far as worrying, I wouldn't worry too much. I think he mentioned today something really interesting. He said that he had the choice to either come in after Kansas City ahead of this break and then really kind of start with all of this time to prepare, or he had the option to come in immediately after the Bayern season ended, and he chose to come in immediately. And so I think you're seeing a lot of that, right? Like, you're seeing that dynamic of him wanting to give them space and continue what they've been doing all season and slowly drip feed them into what he wants to do. And so it's going to take time. It's going to take time. I think everyone would have liked to see better results against teams, you know, like a Chicago, like a Courage that you kind of have beaten in the past that are having the best of years. And now you have to go on the road against Kansas City, who look like, again, one of the better teams in the league. So it's definitely a tough introduction to the league. But I think in the long term, as long as this team keeps pace with kind of that playoff position, they'll be in great shape in the second half of the season.
So you said, like, kind of drip feeding his influence onto the players. And obviously he was coaching another team. But late Sam Laity was mentioned as the interim head coach at the beginning of the season. Once Angel City had announced Alex Strauss as the new coach, but he wasn't yet coming in, do you know what kind of communication there was between Sam Laity and Alex Strauss on, like,
I'm not sure how much communication was between them specifically. That isn't something that I've actually asked about or talked about. I do know that once Alex was announced, he himself has even said, like, once that moment, or he himself said that he had actually spent the last couple of years watching Angel City, that he was a big fan of Alyssa Thompson, that he enjoyed with. So I think this was something, like, coming to America was probably something on his mind. And he mentioned that talks really got going in late December with Angel City. And so I think as far as him and the club, like, he's always kind of kept an eye on things, like, watched things from afar, kind of probably had his game plan written out. But in terms of him and Sam personally, I wouldn't know. I would imagine once that announcement was officially made, there was some communication, especially with Sam remaining on staff. There had to have been some kind of, like, okay, this is a person that I feel comfortable as my assistant coach, things like that.
So he is remaining on staff.
Yeah, right now, yes. He is. He's an assistant coach. He does still attend trainings. Like, he's still part of the club. He's just not the manager anymore. So It's not like he was let go and fired. He might find a new club in the offseason, but for now, yeah, he's an assistant here. So,
okay. All right. Yeah. You mentioned Alex Strauss saying him being a fan of Alyssa Thompson, and honestly, who isn't? But you mentioned Riley Tiernan earlier, and Kennedy Fuller are really having breakout offensive seasons this season. Of those three players, is there one that's more important than the other two, or, like, do they all kind of, like, raise each other up equally, or is one riding on one's coattails?
I mean, I think it's an iron sharpens iron situation for sure. I think if you're talking importance to the team, I don't think there's any mistake. It's Alyssa out of those three, right? Like, I think it's very clear that Alyssa is, you know, we talked about heir apparent in the back line. I think it's very clear from the beginning that since she's arrived, she is the heir apparent to, like, what Kristen Press is doing in terms of being that centerpiece for the team, being the face of the team. She kills it for the U.S. Women's National Team. So I think in terms of who they are building around and kind of the importance, you want to say, it's definitely Alyssa. But I also think, you know, her doing so well has motivated the likes of Riley Tiernan, right? A rookie coming in, has already, I think, what, 6-7 goals this season? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I know that, you know, there's probably friendly competition going on there. And then you talk about Kennedy Fuller, who seems to really be coming into her own in the midfield. A lot more like, she's always had confidence. I've always admired that about her. Like, she came into the league letting it fly and just having all this confidence. And she's only honed it in a way where she's very cognizant of when to let it fly, when to kind of, like, be more of a facilitator, where she needs to be in the midfield. And so I think under Strauss, like, all of those players are just going to flourish, I feel like, again, because this is a coach that cut his chops with Norway's youth national system. And he was a youth national coach for a while. And his philosophy is that, you know, every player can be developed, whether you're 18 or 36. He feels like the day a player can't be developed is the day that, you know, they should probably stop playing. And so he feels like everybody's coachable. And so for him, it's not so much developing youth, but that's what I call it, where it's like, I think the young core under him can really take that next step. And you're seeing a lot of it, right? Like, congrats to, like, kudos to Sam Lady for kind of laying that foundation. But I think over these next few months, I think you're going to start seeing all of them kind of step it up to another level. And you're already seeing players like Casey Fair get more minutes. And so I think, like, players like her are really going to benefit from him being around. So, yeah. I think it's very much a situation where they're making each other better, and it's only going to help the club as a whole.
I'm not going to lie. There were definitely moments last season and at the beginning of this season, it was like, oh, Casey Fair, is she has a professional contract? Yeah, like, she's still there. So you mentioned Kristen Press, and one of the first things that Alex Strauss has done is look, it seems that he's made her his first stub off the bench. Like, yeah. She's probably not going to be give you 90 minutes.
No.
And that's okay for a player of her caliber at this point in her career. I mean, it was just earlier, a month ago, that she came on in less than a minute. She scored. Like, how long was it? Like 62 not seconds even, or something?
Yeah, it was like, it was under a minute. She came in and immediately got the goal.
Yes.
I think it was that Utah match, wasn't it? It was like right before the Savvy event, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. So you have a player like Kristen Press. What is it about her specifically that still makes her like one of the focal points of the team? Like, even though she might not be that 30 minute or that 90 minute fit player that might only give you 30 minutes a night, or it is coming off an atrocious knee injury.
I mean, in one word, it's her leadership. You know, talking to Alyssa Thompson the last couple of years, she has been very vocal that she's, you know, been basically coached by Kristen Press. You know, that's who she goes to when she needs advice. That's who she's kind of gone under Kristen Press's wing, right? Like, she has molded her game kind of with her in mind. And so it's the leadership. I mean, Kristen Press was already doing so much off the field for the team while injured, and now she gets to come back on the pitch and do a lot for the team. And she still has that competitive fire in her, right? Like, even in her latest, I think it was like one of her latest podcast episodes, she mentioned that she isn't the player that she used to be. And she might not be able to start and give you a full 90, but she can definitely give you a solid 30. And, you know, for a team like this, that's what they need. They need that mix of veteran leadership and letting the young kids kind of have that creativity. And so, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, she's still so important to the city, so important to the club. And it's a really good thing that Alex sees that. And I'm not surprised by that. I think when Alex was announced, I mentioned that, you know, Kristen Press is probably going to take that Pernell Harder role that Pernell had at Bayern under him, where it was like an older veteran, kind of people probably thought she was done, kind of leaving Chelsea, and she flourished under Alex. Like, she had a lot, I think, one of her most productive seasons last year. And so, you know, I'm not surprised at all that since he's been here, he's been like, all right, Press, you're the one. Like, you're the first go-to option. I'm going to use you. And I won't be surprised if you start seeing her getting some starts and maybe, you know, playing a first half a little bit, like maybe 60, and then coming off. So, you know, I think that's going to be one of the real interesting things to watch in the coming months as Alex really gets his hands dirty and gets into this squad.
So this is the last league match before the long month-long international break. Are there any friendlies that Angel City or competitions that Angel City will be participating in over that break?
They have two friendlies. I don't know if they've announced the teams officially yet. So okay. I don't want to say anything, but they have two friendlies. they have two friendlies, and Alex confirmed today that they will be doing like intra-squad scrimmages throughout the next month. So, but yeah, two official friendlies. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned earlier that in the last international window, the team had so many absences. It was like, are they going to have enough players to have an intra-squad scrimmage, like between like the senior squad and the like?
Well, luckily academy? this is Euro break, so most of their international.
But they have the Euros too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
But like, Emslie would be the only.
Well, no, I would say after what Emma Hayes had said with giving a lot of players time off, mm-hmm. there might be a larger chunk of what is normally the U.S. women's national team, you know, probably for Angel City's sake, staying back. So it'll be interesting to see if Alyssa Thompson gets a call up. Because like Emma Hayes herself mentioned that she wanted to kind of give a lot of players a break and give a lot of specifically the European players, but just give a lot of players a break and see kind of a lot of the up and coming players in this pool. So we'll see how that shakes out. But I do anticipate them to have enough. Yeah, I don't think they'll lose too much. It won't be like in his first week where it seemed like everyone was gone. They'll definitely probably have a handful of players gone. But I think for the most part, they should have the core of what is normally like the first probably 14, 15 players there. So
you mentioned that Alex Strauss had his media availability today. Was there anything that he said that kind of like took you by surprise a little bit? Anything that he said in anticipation of this next match against Casey Current?
Nothing too surprising. Like I said, you could tell he was very upset at the recent results. You know what I mean? Like he's not the kind of coach that enjoys losing, coming from Bayern, having built that club, at least on the women's side, from a club that was kind of an afterthought. Like when he took over Bayern, Wolfsburg was the women's soccer perennial power in Germany. And he snatched that title from them real quick. And so I think just for him, you know, it's not a surprise that the NWSL has been so difficult, but I definitely think like he's like, okay, I've been hit in the mouth now. Like I need to get to July. But yeah, he's like, he mentioned being focused for this match. He did mention Claire Emslie won't be there for that match. She's still dealing with an injury. But yeah, I think he understands the difficulties ahead, having to go on the road against a team like Kansas City that seems to score at will, and going in there with, he acknowledged a very shaky defense. Well, he didn't say, I'm paraphrasing in that aspect, but he acknowledged that the defense needs work. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what adjustments are made. I just don't know how much he's going to try to adjust now with July on the horizon. I think after that period, you'll probably start seeing a lot more changes in the starting lineup. You'll probably start seeing a little bit different responsibilities for players. But I think coming into this one is very much like the last few matches where it's like, okay, we're going to try our best. We're going to, you know, have this amalgamation of what you've done already and what I kind of want to do. And then, you know, do everything we can to try to get the result. Like, I think that's the goal, is just get the result. If it's a draw, great. Obviously, if it's a win on the road against Kansas City, phenomenal. But yeah, I think as much as he did not want to talk about the future, you do get the sense that a lot of the work ahead for this club and for him is going to be after this match.
Well, I will say that last season, Kansas City's first loss of the season did come in the match right before the break against Orlando. So it will be interesting to see if there's any sort of parallel about that. I also, in talking about Casey Curran, obviously we know that they score, but a lot, but usually it, and as example in this last match, like they do the majority of their scoring in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Is there any, like, do you feel like Angel City has the potential, or Alex Strauss would maybe even want to get into a track meet with Kansas City? Like, just given how fast they know the team is, and like maybe goal for goal?
I don't know if he'll try to go goal for goal, but I think, like, especially the last few matches, Angel City's big problem is they've let in goals in the first 20 minutes. Like they seem to get hit hard and then settle in and then do really well. So I think, you know, this wasn't asked of him, but I would imagine he is coming into this match probably looking to take a lot of that pressure at first, right? Like, I think you'll see a little bit more of a defensive strategy in the first 20 minutes, knowing that Kansas City are that way and knowing that his defense gives up the early goal. I think they'll try to get to the 20th minute mark scoreless, or, you know, up a goal, like, if they can. But yeah, I don't think you'll see the outright track meet. I do think that they will open up eventually, But I think early on, especially after how the last couple matches have gone, I think early on you're going to see a team that is a little bit more condensed and a little bit more aware defensively.
Okay. Is there any one thing that you're expecting from Angel City that will happen in this match against Kansas City Current on Friday?
Man, any one thing? I'm hoping that the defense, like that has been the sore spot for the team. I think one thing you can expect is Alyssa's going to do Alyssa things, and Tiernan is going to try to, you know, power her way to another goal. I think those are definitely things. Like, this attack has been an attack that has been aggressive, and I don't think that'll change even against Kansas City. Like I said, you might see them come out a little bit more defensively to start, but I think throughout the course of the match, you're going to see a team that is not going to be afraid to be aggressive and to go after Kansas City's defense and try to get that goal. Because I think if they can get the early goal, that'll give them a lot of confidence. And this is a team that does really well when they have that confidence. You know what I mean? So, I think you'll see that. I think you'll see Alyssa kind of take it to them pretty early. Like I said, I would say the first 10, 15 minutes of the match, you'll see a defensive Angel City. And then from there, it'll be what we're all used to, kind of that track meet style, push up as much as we can, try to get that goal, try to hit them in the mouth, and see what happens.
I think for me, I'm super interested to see the matchup between Temwa Chiwenga and the entirety of the back line of Angel City. Like, I just want to see, like, Louisville did a really good job last week of making sure that they did not really let Temwa Chiwenga loose until like the very end of the match, right? But that stated, it opened up opportunities for players like Michelle Cooper, players like Bia, players like Vanessa DiBernardo to get in and be 1v1 or even 1v half in some situations. So I'm really interested to see how Alex Strauss and the Angel City backline decide to defend Temwa Chiwenga. And if it's going to end up being Giselle Thompson, you're about to get blessed. And
I think it's going to be I don't think they're going to try to like double her or like kind of focus on her. I think they've tried that in a couple of matches and it's not worked out great. This is just a defense right now that just can't afford to give anybody space, like anybody. So I think you'll see, like I said, a concerted effort just as a whole to keep the attack away from goal as much as possible. I think the real scary prospect is going to be Michelle Cooper, because she gets with really well and her service, at least lately, has been phenomenal. And so, again, you're talking about an Angel City defense that has struggled kind of with balls coming into the box, you know, struggled with losing players sometimes in all of the chaos. And so I think if they can limit the amount of crosses coming in and limit the amount of space, that'll be what they focus on. It's going to be tough, like you said, with Temwa Chiwenga there. I know Alex knows about her and knows about her game. And so, yeah, I think it'll be a situation where they probably say, look, Giselle, try your best. Or maybe even MA, because I know MA isn't the faster of the two outside backs, but she's definitely the more physical and definitely is not afraid to get dirty back there. And so...
Oh, no, I have her going against Contact or Michelle Cooper. Apparently, the team has named her Contact for her willingness to get stuck in.
Those two will love going at it.
But for MA,
it's going to be avoiding those fluky goals, right? Because with how Michelle crosses, like, I can just see now one of those crosses like deflecting off of a shoelace and making it a problem for Anderson. So
right.
Just avoiding those kind of flukish Angel City goals, hopefully. But yeah, I don't doubt that. Yeah, that would be a good matchup, Michelle and MA.
Yeah. I'm
I like physicality. I like physicality in the defense, so that'll be fun.
For certain. Well, Treb, I really appreciate you taking your time and hopping on with me. Please tell everyone where they can find you and all the work that you do, because you be putting in the work.
I'm just trying to be like you guys. I'm on Blue Sky, as a lot of people are now. at Trev Tracy. That's where you can find me. And as always, I do cover Angel City over at angelsonparade.com. That's where we have all the news, notes, previews, reviews. We're working on some really fun articles coming in for the break. I'm hoping to get, you know, get some approvals for and talk to some folks. And so, yeah, that's pretty much where you can find me for all things Angel City. Like I said, I love talking all women's soccer, but I love talking NWSL. Now that the WSL is over, we can focus on the chaos that is the NWSL. And it's really exciting times for us here in LA, because like I said, we the hype around Alex Strauss's arrival has been palpable. And I think people are just ready for that first win, because I think there's a sense of once you get that first win, the floodgates will open. And if they can get that first win going into break against a team like Kansas City, it's going to be scary hours for the rest of the league, because there's still one player that I think is going to change a lot of what they do, especially offensively, that is yet to arrive. And that's, yeah. You know, for those that don't know, that's their new signing, Svendis Young's daughter. So,
yeah, I would imagine that they're probably going to give her a little bit of a break, but like, she'll probably come in the lighter part of July. But well, again, Treb, thank you so much for joining us. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been The Current Moment, where we keep you current on all things KC Current. And you will hear from us soon.